Talk Show. Recorded live.
And good afternoon for the new year here. For those of you on the West Coast, because I see a few of you, we've got, there we go, trying to fix my thing here. There, that'll help. We're ready to get this thing rolling for 2010. So, got some questions here, and this is the Affair Recovery Q&A. I can see one name on there. Hi, Wendy.
It's Danny.
Hey, Danny.
Hi. Combo.
That's great, guys. Okay, first question would be, it's kind of weird writing this question since I've known you for years. But I've certainly never talked about these issues before will be attending the EMS weekend in a couple of weeks. And I don't know if you have a chance to look at our paperwork yet. However, I have a question that I'm hoping to have answered, and I doubt the weekend will afford the chances to ask this one. And I'm hoping for an answer sooner than that, even if only by a couple of days. After learning that my husband had relapsed 3 weeks ago, I decided to attend an Essanon meeting. I now have been to two, and I'm really struggling with whether or not it's actually helping. I know that many people feel awkward at first, but that's not really what I'm feeling. Instead, I've left both meetings more depressed and hopeless than when I went in, and it's taken a couple of days to recover. On the one hand, I have a long history of denial, which I've spent many hours talking about in therapy. It's no big deal, has been the mantra of my life, and I'm afraid that my hesitation to attend is just that denial coming out. On the other hand, it's no big deal has not run through my head even once since the disclosures. More important, though, I'm struggling with the messages that I'm hearing in group, and I realize that what they're saying may not be what I'm hearing, but I can only work with what I'm hearing. I've read the article that you wrote on building trust, and my husband is doing everything to create a safe relationship for me even more. I've experienced no resistance from him, and I know that this time he gets it. But when I share any of this at the Essanon meeting, what I hear is something like, oh, yes, dear, they all seem eager at first, but just wait, he'll break your heart over and over again, and we'll be here for you when he does. I don't find encouragement in that. They seem to be nice people and all, but I'd rather have my husband. I wonder if the group assumes that because this is both of our first experiences with recovery groups, we haven't done any of the work toward recovery. The first time I caught my husband in his addiction, he was resistant and didn't get it. He attended counseling and set up accountability relationships and eventually seemed eager for real change. On the other hand, he thought he could do it without full disclosure to me or anyone else. Part of me thinks that the Essanon members are projecting their experiences on my husband and me without understanding that we've walked through some of this already, including some of the 12 steps. When they tell me that he's going to relapse and will probably abandon recovery altogether for at least some period and probably do it more than once, I think he's already done all of that. And I'm left wondering if what they're telling me is that for the rest of our marriage, we'll go through exactly what we're going through now. Is there no hope for progress? The bottom line is that I arrived at last night's meeting hurting but hopeful, left depressed and anxious and afraid. This morning I had a hard time getting out of bed and going to work. I don't want to walk in denial, but I'm having trouble seeing how this is an improvement. How do I know which voice in my head is right? Are these meetings really a good idea for me? So, great question. I typically love meetings, and the purpose of a meeting is in my mind, is and this is especially with Essanon meetings, I think dangerous, you get people coming into meetings, and even Al-Anon, newbie, so to speak, in AA. I mean, initially when people come in, they're kind of at the point of still trying to manage life. I do know the purpose of the meeting is not to focus on what's going to happen, but ultimately to get to an understanding that I can't control this thing, and it's about powerlessness. I'm sure that, you know, they're kind of trying to say assume that something bad still could happen here. And I always, let's gather my thoughts here for a second to answer all of this. A, I think the meetings are important, and I think it's important to be able to live with the possibility that someone could relapse. However, if the S&On group is focused on trying to manage your mate's recovery, and if the S&On group is focused on trying to maybe even direct that sort of course of action, then I would say it's probably not a really healthy group. I mean, the purpose of 12-step work is for me to turn my life and my will over to God and then to focus on my own issues so that I can be even more keenly aware of how fully surrendered I need to be to God. And then I need to begin looking at the fact that I potentially have my own defects of character. And then I need to begin looking about how I'm impacting other people. But it really is not a focus about what our mate is or isn't going to do. So that's my only concern with the question per se. In another way I would answer that I would give just kind of listening to this, however, I always assume that the goal of recovery is not perfection. The goal of recovery, in fact, we'll never learn any of these things apart ultimately from failure. And if he doesn't fully surrender that will per se, and if he's not totally, there's a part, a smidgen of him that believes he can do this, then I also believe God would allow him to relapse, because God's not interested in his perfection. God's interested in his relationship with them. And the only way we typically kind of get things worked out with God, I think, is through failure, not through our being able to succeed and show God how good we're doing. So I just think in some ways it's the group should be helpful. If S&On doesn't help, I would suggest doing Al-Anon, because they'll have, hopefully, if you have a really good, solid group at Al-Anon, for instance, maybe it's a bigger group with more old-timers, but and you'll find, you know, people who are saying, don't focus on him, honey, and what he's going to do. I mean, and I always assume relapse with people, simply because the goal to me, again, of recovery is weakness and not strength. And as long as I think, when I have somebody who thinks they can do it, I know the probabilities of relapse goes up dramatically. But when they're weak and they think there's no way they can ever handle it and they stay in a place of weakness, then they don't tend to relapse. So there is a possibility your husband gets it now and he won't relapse. But there's also the potential that someone can get it in the year 2010 and forget it by the year 2015. So being aware that we're dealing with a disease, and, you know, I don't think that recovery is about someone getting beyond the disease. I think it's about someone learning to live in a way that the disease doesn't ultimately destroy everyone they love. When I look at me, I know darn well that I'm a human wrecking ball. And apart from God, I would do it. I would do it again. And I'm 25 years down the road. I have no doubt I could do it. It behooves me, if I love those in my family, to continue walking the way I need to walk, working the program I need to work, to protect those that I love. And if I don't learn to live that way and learn to accept what I am, and also for you as the person in, you know, that's the mate, being able to accept what we're dealing with here, then I think, you know, it's a dangerous situation. And hopefully 12 Steps teaches that surrender. It teaches that way to stay weak. It teaches that way to stay committed, surrendered, working program, walking with God daily, praying only to the knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out. When we do that, we will do fine. So I hope that answers it a little bit. We can talk about it more over the weekend. So, questions about how long? I've heard you say it takes 18 to 24 months to heal. And we are lots farther out than that. The problem is that when I first found out about the full extent of my husband's affair, we separated. I thought I was so done with him. I'd already been through betrayal in my first marriage and wasn't going to go there again. My husband has been betrayed by his first wife. We met sometime after both of our first marriages had blown up, and eventually married a couple of years later. In 1991, when both of our first marriages blew up, and even when we got married in 1993, there still wasn't much help available. Not that we really understood we needed any help in the first place. We just sort of began our new life together and moved on, unaware of the baggage we were dragging along with us. I now know that at the time, I based most of my trust in this marriage on the fact that we had both been through infidelity in our first marriages and knew the pain of it. Therefore, we certainly wouldn't have to walk again down that road. We even used to say jokingly, I may be widowed, but I'll never be divorced again. Of course, I realize now that I placed my trust and my confidence in the shifting sand, not on anything solid. 2020 hindsight. Several months after we separated, I was really at the point of giving up on our marriage, so I packed up and moved out of state to live with one of my adult sons from my first marriage and his family. Shortly before our divorce was to be finalized, we started talking and quickly decided to give it another try. I moved back within only a few weeks, thinking we would be getting counseling and working through everything like we had been talking about. Well, things didn't work out quite like I thought they might. Again, more 2020 hindsight, I am a slow learner. Fast forward 3.5 more years, and we're still together, although we haven't worked through much of anything very well. My husband dug his feet for most of the year without getting any counseling, and then didn't stick with it very long anyway. I went for a long time and still go from time to time, a point that my husband used to drive home, his point, that I won't just let go and move on. I read lots of books, and they help me get my head screwed on straight. I keep learning more about myself and growing as an individual. The books on overcoming codependency have helped me the most. My husband won't read anything that complains about me reading so much, saying, I don't know why you have to keep reading all this crap about what an ass I am. He won't even read anything on personal growth, never mind affair-related stuff like Not Just Friends, which I wanted him to go through with me. I went through Harboring Hope, and it was a big turning point for me. I continue to stay in contact with some of the other ladies in my group, and we now have become good friends, almost sisters, because we've walked through this together. My husband claims that I have no life other than dwelling on the affair, and told me last night that he believes the only thing that will ever make me happy would be for him to jump off a cliff. He really couldn't be farther from the truth. I told him last night that healing and moving on was very different than healing and moving on was a very different thing when I was doing it by myself, rather than trying to heal and move on in the context of trying to repair our relationship. I was unprepared for what I had to deal with when coming back here. Not so much in working through things, but in having to work through things by myself, trying to be in a relationship with him while he's running from working through things. My question is, consider all of this. With only one of us trying to work through things and the other one running from all of it, how long do you think it might be take for us to experience true healing in our relationship, or is it even possible? You know, it's interesting, this particular question. This was the topic of our staff meeting last week. And we were talking about couples that still seem to be rotating around the affair 3 years after discovery. And what is it? Because I kind of feel like if you haven't, if the affair is really not something of the past, if the infidelity is not something of the past at 3 years, then for sure something is pretty stuck. And obviously in this situation, there are some mitigating circumstances, and there's also the first infidelity. I mean, like I said, you both have your own baggage. But it's almost like when we're working through an affair, I don't know, because we're going to actually spend a long time kind of brainstorming about some of this stuff, about the three-year stuck couples. But it's almost like when it's the affair, and the reason your husband, I think, has a problem with this a little bit, is it feels like there's a hierarchy. You know, there's the wounded spouse. We're still playing kind of the hurt spouse, unfaithful spouse sort of dance somehow in the relationship. And in a normal marriage, when you pull back, or maybe a healthy marriage, when you pull back from that, it's not about one person trying to make up to the other person, or and for everybody listening here, if you're not more than 3 years out, this does not apply to you. So I want to make sure I put that in there. But there's, you know, it's almost like one person, like your husband, probably feels like you said, he's the ass, and he's kind of one down in the relationship. We're still playing perpetrator victim. And if you don't, and yes, couples do move beyond that, even though they can be stuck in it for a very long time. So now the goal begins to shift. How do you move out of the hurt spouse, unfaithful spouse paradigm to just a different marriage where we finally come to rest and put this thing behind us? You know, one of the things I think that's important for you, and it's interesting to me that you write about codependency. One of the ways I think programs that's really useful in this situation is actually Al-Anon, where and you get a really good Al-Anon sponsor, because one way to get the filter in your own mind shifted a little bit is well, first, let me answer your question. I'll go back to Al-Anon. Not, because you didn't ask how do I heal from it. You said, how long do you think it might take us? I would hope you could get out of this place within 12 months. I would suggest you desperately try to get out of this place within 12 months. I think that would be very, very useful. And one of the ways, and this one probably is going to be up to you to change. I mean, it would be really nice if your husband were able to kind of be a part of this. But if there are other really good aspects of this relationship and reasons for you to be in this relationship, it just sounds like he's kind of at the place where he's not able to go forward anymore for whatever reason, and I don't know him, kind of in that one up, one down, hurt, unfaithful paradigm, that it's not a useful paradigm for y'all anymore after 3 years. And typically it's not a useful paradigm for couples after 3 years. It creates too much of a power differential. And so you want to get to the place where it's not as much about your healing, but there comes a point in the process where you want to be about being the healer, where you want to be more about doing the 12th step, helping others, rather than it still being about trying to move beyond some of this situation. And we're going to actually be creating some materials to address this. It's, to me, this is kind of a complicated place to come to. But I would suggest, because it sounds like you've made some really good progress, two things that can be helpful. One is the Al-Anon. Number two, sometimes what kind of keeps this stuck a little bit can be a trauma, kind of a trauma base. So EMDR, eye movement desensitization or reprocessing, another technique that kind of does the same thing is the apostolic prayer. If you're familiar with any of those, doing some individual work around dealing with the pain and the trauma so that you can reprocess it and make the focus not so much on shifting how you see the marriage right now, but how can you surrender your own need to kind of control and manage this thing and do your own work at surrendering and trusting God, not trusting your husband. But you know your husband's heart. And, you know, it sounds like there's a, again, there's a bit of a block. And he's not able to do it. We're at a place where you're going to have to probably do that work of learning to shift the focus. I don't know that I've done a good job of describing this because this is all, as we've been kind of working through it, there's so many thoughts I've got in my head. But I hope that maybe helps a little bit. Here's a good one. Thanks for answering my question. Last week, it caused me to dig deeper into recovery. I got my Harboring Hope materials back out and realized I was still going in and out of the grieving process. The hurry up to move on has been very hard to look at things and to be honest about where we are. We're going to a place starting this Wednesday called Reengage. It's what some of our mutual friends went through. Don and Misha, that's our next step. By the time you get this, we'll be at our 10-month mark. Is it normal to still be going in and out of grieving? Absolutely. Sometimes I feel the other half has forgotten where we were and the devastation it caused. He says God has healed him and he'll never do it again. Now, remember, in the Harboring Hope course, Leslie has a diagram about how much better things get and how much more quickly things get better for the unfaithful spouse than they do for the hurt spouse. So part of that can be somewhat normal. He says God has healed him and he'll never do it again, and I'm sure that's where he's at right now. Do I believe this and believe that this can be so without any changes in the workplace? I remember you said this does happen. God does completely take the desire away. I know that there are no absolutes, but it seems as if he feels like he has risen above this so far that he'll never fall this way again. Sounds good, but in your video on relapse behavior, it seems this is a very vulnerable place. I'm really trying not to think in the negative. I also don't want to crawl back into my cocoon and think we're safe at all turns and we can never be here again. I lived here for so many years and was very wrong. What do you think about the codependent no more? It was a recommendation from a counselor that would be good to read. I want to do everything in my power to recover and use time wisely. Yeah, Codependent No More is a good book. I think that so, Wendy, if you have some questions from EMS Group, you can post them either on the chat here. So I'm just watching chat, guys. That's why you're hearing this. And I'll try to answer them. Codependent No More would be a good read for you. You are not at 3 years, and I think that you're going to find that things – oftentimes, at a year, people are still struggling and grieving a lot. But you also don't want – I mean, I can tell you right now, knowing your husband a little bit, that he probably isn't having desire. What's important with relapse at this point, though, is making sure that he's wise, understanding – again, it's the whole thing of weakness and not putting myself in circumstances. So, you know, hopefully you'll get back through this thing. Be sure to be looking for the things you begin to appreciate. I mean, a lot of it's about how we look at things in life. So as much as possible, Mandy, don't let, try to look beyond evaluating everything through the infidelity and begin to look as much as possible as at his heart. And maybe it would be good for the two of you to set up a session so we could talk about how he says things to you and what he's thinking to clarify some of that for you so that maybe you could feel a little safer. But you're still grieving, and that would be normal. So, Rick, I'm struggling in a double life as a result of my affair with my old high school love. He was my first kiss, my first everything, and last year we started an affair. We didn't intend to have an affair. It was a casual reunion between two childhood friends. Both of our marriages were in hot water, and we both needed more. We fell into each other's arms, and here I am now. My husband has had a major issue, and I still and still do over stepchildren and over his lack of affection and spirituality. In other words, he's somewhat, in my mind, he's somewhat of a shallow person, and I tend to be more thoughtful and passionate and emotional. At this time, I feel the right thing to do for many reasons is to stay in my marriage and to fix it. But now the issues of the marriage are no longer of interest to my husband. His only interest now is that I make it up to him for what I did. I feel that I am the victim here, and he made me feel bad enough in the marriage to take this step. I was faithful for 11 out of 12 years together. My question is, how do I save a marriage that was bad and now the issues of how bad he was to me in the first place were erased by what I did as a result of the same? I feel he wants nothing but for me to spend my life making it up to him while he makes no changes. The affair partner brings his own sets of issues to my life, but at least he treats me right. Thank you. I hope you can help me. There's a lot more to it. And I have posted, I'm truly desperate today. What's happening is very, very painful, and a decision is imminent. I don't quite have enough information here, but it depends on whether I would say your husband is totally, like, way out of line here, according to how long this thing has been going on. I mean, I'm not saying that what, because you cannot live a life trying to make it up to him, and you cannot ignore the issues that happened in the relationship. I hope the two of you have done the harboring, the 911 marriage. That would be really useful. But he's got to begin to kind of deal with his pain without, you cannot be the source ultimately of this solution for his pain. He needs to do harboring hope. That would be really useful for him. He needs to get with other men who can help him work through this. This is just a complicated situation. I call this kind of a bass-ackwards affair only because right now you are already hurt long before the relationship, ever before the affair happened. So your issues aren't resolved, and it is true. He can justify not having to change anything. And so if you can do something like the 911 marriage, the way that system works, what it does is it takes you through 3 months, and at the end of that, quote, we've dealt with the affair, now hopefully we can begin to look at some of the more other issues, such as the marriage, which is, but you just can't start with the marriage. You first have to begin to do some healing around the affair. Boy, I wish I had more information here. Or an EMS would really be good for you, too, if you haven't done one. I hope to hear from you again, actually, because we're going to be actually starting a group, I think, next week for women in this situation, just helping create a support group virtually, if nothing else. Like, how do you let go? How do you stay engaged? What do you focus on? And I'll tell you right now, the thing that you need to focus on probably more than anything is your own sort of recovery work. It's going to be hard to work on the marriage right now. And hopefully you can get some of these courses going, and I think that'll help. Back to Mandy. We attended 2 re-engage sessions since I wrote the last question. It all sounds good, but I have my own reservations. They say as long as we work together and go through the curriculum, they've seen God heal and restore marriages 6 to 8 months. In 6 to 8 months, they ask you to commit. I wish I could tell you what my hesitation is. It feels like we're skipping a step or two. Partly, I guess, because Brad hasn't been diligent about personal counseling due to finances. He's yet to dig in and find the why. I guess at this point, it didn't seem so important. It doesn't seem so important anymore until he announced he was going to attend the sheriff's office Christmas party where she would be in attendance. I was not invited because he knew I'd have a problem with it. He said this was no longer going to control what he did and where he went. He said his boundaries were firmly in place and his intentions were not to go see the affair partner. Well, you know, I heard that line when he told me that they were involved. It wasn't his intention to hurt me or get involved, but he did. I'm really confused at this point and decided not to stand in the way of his job or decisions any longer pertaining to that. I'm tired of competing and repeating myself as to why. I don't feel this can be healthy for us. I wish I was excited about working on the marriage part, but somehow it seems too soon. I still have a lot of anger for his affair and him betraying our love and home. I'm praying for God to help me past this point. Please tell me your thoughts. I thoroughly trust you and know that you'll put things in perspective. Okay, again, I don't agree. While you're in the healing process, I certainly wish that he would continue to focus this year on helping you to be safe and not sit there at this point and say he's going to do what he's going to do. A little bit of patience would be really helpful here, because your anger really should go away over time. Again, if you were having this same conversation at year three, I might have a very different response. But at 10 months, I think he also needs to be understanding and patient. So, again, this one might be good if we could have a phone session, if nothing else, just to kind of talk about this and clarify some things between two of you. Now, let's hit refresh. That should log me out. It did. And just a second, guys. I'll be right back. I think I've got some more questions. Sorry for my cough. Okie doke. I'm back. Okay, Wendy, are you there?
Yes.
Did you post any more questions?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. I was looking to see if you posted any more. Did you have a question from the forum? You said there was a question you wanted to ask, I think, at one point.
Well, it was about EMS, something
okay.
specific that I didn't know if you wanted on the call or not.
Well, once you ask the question, I can let you know.
Well, it's about someone specific.
Oh, it's okay. Someone specific?
Yeah.
That'd probably be a little different then. Maybe we could talk for a minute. Okay. Let's just talk later, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon then, and we'll end the call today. And Wendy, you and I'll catch up. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, Rick, I have a question.
Yes, Erin.
Can you call me on Skype?
In just a little bit, okay? We'll take very
okay.
long.
I just need to talk to you today.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.